It is time for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, based in Carmel. Biblical Worldview Ministry, training up our young people to be able to stand firmly on their faith with a biblical worldview, so that when it's challenged, they will know how to defend their faith. And Nancy, this is a great question today. We were talking about this earlier. What does repentance look like?
Yes, and you know, you were talking about George Barna and all the research that they've done, but this fits right into it. And I think it's a, you know, when I was answering this, looking up and studying this question, this thought of repentance, it reminded me, you know, double check ourselves today on this one. But, you know, the thing is, we all need God's saving grace. We just do. And the only way we get it is by believing in the death and resurrection of his son. You know, it's just the way it is, because our natural condition, which involves serving ourselves, you know, above all, it's like this kingdom of Steve, you know, this idea of having our own kingdom is not what we were designed to do. And it makes us guilty in the eyes of God. He calls that sin. So, you know, we know the penalty of sin and death is death, which is what we deserve, which is eternal separation from God. But his love for us is so great, and his desire for us to have a relationship with him is so overwhelming. Just the thought of that, that he would sacrifice his son so we can live together in harmony, you know, that we become righteous in his eyes. And we just look at this whole scenario, Kelly, and we think, well, this is absolutely amazing. What do I do with it, kind of thing?
Well, understanding what repentance is, let's talk about what it looks like now. What does repentant life look like?
Well, you know, it's repentance is looking backwards a little bit, so you can go forward. It's something that we did in the past. It's recognizing that it was sinful and that it broke God's good and beneficial laws, you know. But it's not one thing. It's a pattern of life. It's how we live, and not an occasional trip to a church pew, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's how we live. It's the rhythm of how we live. And the point is, if we are truly repentant, then we become different people. Then we no longer live for ourselves. And we put away the things of the world, and we set our minds on the things of God. You know, I think one way to think of it is that God becomes our DNA, or that self becomes the exception. I was just thinking about that a few minutes ago, where our focus on ourselves is the exception, not the rule anymore. Our focus needs to be on God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17.
That's one of my favorite verses. I love that. You say there's nothing natural about our new life too, Nancy. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, no, there isn't. I've witnessed that myself. It's much more easy for us to choose self, isn't it? I mean, we're kind of all just built like that because we were born broken, so to speak, thanks to Adam and Eve and ourselves. So the only way that this can happen is through the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, when we choose sorrowfully to ask forgiveness to God, to accept his gift, of redemption, really redeeming us from the penalty of our sin, you know, it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that that happens. And the Holy Spirit comes into us at that moment that we're sorrowful. We believe in the death and resurrection, and God sends us a helper, a comforter. He's the life changer, and he will convict us of sin. And his desire, is to give us the courage to change. It's not easy, you know. Real, genuine repentance and sorrow for our sin result in personal change. And it's that sorrow. It's that desire to say, I feel terrible, God. I've lived this much of my life really for me. And you designed me to live it with you. You know, as Peter said, God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And, you know, after the death and resurrection, as we talked about last week, Jesus instructed the disciples to teach about his sacrifice and that they should preach about repentance and remission of sins. And that's why it's so important. Repentance is a complete change of thought, a complete change of attitude. It's like making a U-turn. It's just not a blip where you have a good day. It's a U-turn where you really plan out and choose, this is how I'm going to do things. I'm going to no longer make these choices. I'm going to make them in light of God, God's glory, and clearly not my own.
Well, then what does that look like then in application? Let's get to application of repentance. And what does that look like in real life?
Well, the only thing I can think of when I was writing this thing, I had a student several years ago, it just cracks me up, who was very good looking, very popular, great dresser. She was extremely smart and extremely naughty and was, you know, the students loved her. And most, I imagine, wanted to be just like her, you know. And she came to class, which I was so pleased with. And she attended the first lessons and she took notes, but I could tell, you know, she wasn't quite getting this Jesus thing, but she was loving being with all the kids there. Until we studied the death and resurrection of Christ. And I started talking about the prophecies that foretold everything that was going to happen to Jesus and why he had to go through such pain and such suffering. And then his glorious resurrection. And I shared with them that until you understand that he died for your own sins, and that when you believe and receive the gift of forgiveness of every single sin that you've ever committed, past, present, and future, you all are going to remain stuck in yourself with no hope of the future with God. You know, no peace, no joy. But when you choose to believe, to really believe, God will give you the freedom from the guilt that you feel right now, and he's going to give you a new life. So you don't have to struggle with what you're struggling with now. And that'll last forever. And I just pause for a minute and I say, I want you to think about this. And maybe it's time now that you all consider really, truly making God your Lord. And after we prayed together, Ellen jumped up and said, oh my gosh, I get it. I get it. I mean, right in front of class. And she said, now I understand why he died. And I want to share some things with the class right now, if that's okay. And I suggested that maybe not. I wasn't completely or even a little bit convinced that she was serious. So I challenged her to live out what she'd learn and come back next week and share. In the next week, there was Ellen, more than ever eager to share what she had learned. And this is what she said. I left class last week, by the way, and that was about 9:30 at night. And I felt I had to ask for forgiveness of the parents of my friends for all the bad things I talked them into doing. She says, so I went to each one of them. I woke some up because it got pretty late by the time I finished. I asked them to forgive me because God did, and that I was now changing my life to be more like Jesus. And I told them that I was now a new person. And then I went home and asked forgiveness from my parents, which lasted for a while, but they forgave me. The class broke out into this ginormous applause. And then, to top it off, she made an announcement. Oh, she said, I am inviting you all this Saturday night to my house to a resurrection party. And my mom will provide the food and soft drinks. You know, I I have never in my life, when I think about this, and it did happen, you know, to this day, just to see such a change in the person, to the point she was going to have a resurrection party. Are you kidding? And so, of course, I went, the whole class went, and it was a great success. I was most interested, however, to look out and find her father. I would describe him as being dumbfounded at that point. And he said, you know what? Ellen loves parties. And all of them to this point involved alcohol and whatever else was going on. I was like a cop trying to keep everything in control. But he said, tonight, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I never would have believed it. Surely it must be true. When you truly believe in Jesus, life changes. I got my daughter back. And it was the most beautiful moment, really. It was like investing in young people, investing the lives of others just for this moment makes years worth it. Yeah, I'm thinking of Luke 15:7 when he said this. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need repentance. So, you know what? If Ellen can do it, we can do it. And it's just a beautiful story of God changing a heart. And trust me, this is for real. And she, as far as I know, last I checked, she was in medical school. I'm sure she's out by now and doing well. But that was the life changer for her.
That is such an amazing story. And to think that she went door to door asking for forgiveness. I mean, she really got it. It sunk in.
Oh, can you imagine the parents? Oh, they probably said, stay away from that Ellen. And then she comes to the door. You know, but it was so natural. It was so, you know, it was just totally from the heart. And that's what, I mean, when I think of repentance, that's what it's about. It's a 180. It's not a 360, you know, it's not that momentary or mental ascent. Mm-hmm. It's a real.
No, yeah, it is definitely the start of a journey. And that know, when you brought this up and we see that Jesus told the disciples to remember that and to commemorate that. But this is exactly how it all began. Jesus' coming began with John the Baptist. And what does he preach? Repentance in the wilderness. He preaches the very first thing. You must repent, period. And that is the core. And so, yes, true transition of a life comes from true repentance. This has been awesome. I love that story. I want to, you know what we have to do? You have to find out where Ellen is.
Yeah.
We need a follow-up. We need a follow-up now. You
gotta
go find her. That's it.
I definitely will check with her. But, yeah, it just, it was great. And, you know, all the religion, all of the other stuff, you know, doesn't matter. It's what you do, what you want to do with your life, and choosing, once you know what Christ did to you, making that choice that your life's going to change. And once we do this, the Holy Spirit is off and running. You don't have to do it alone. Mm. And I'm not talking about the perfect life here, but I'm talking about being daughter of a king or the son of a king here. And making mistakes, tripping and falling, but your focus never changes. You know your father and you live in his house, you're his child, and your heart beats for him, even though we get off track a little bit sometimes. But I just think this is so amazing. And I think for people that have been believers for a long time, they need to celebrate their life. You know, so many of them say, well, I don't have a testimony. Oh, you do. You do. And maybe refresh it today. Ask God just to give you a freshness of faith. And maybe it is being sorrowful for the way you've been living. I don't know. But clearly, God loves a repentant heart so he can pump joy into you that you've been looking for. So if the Christians, if only 2% of us can defend our faith and only 6% of us, according to George Barna, are living out our faith, maybe it's time to rethink repentance. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that is a key element of all of this. And Nancy, this has been excellent. We're so glad that we can point everybody over to kellyandsteve.org under the resources tab. You're going to find information about anchorsaway.org. You're going to find all the schedules of the boot camps. Nancy, thank you so much for being with us again this week and really, really prompting and promoting this thought.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.